Well, welcome everyone to San Francisco. I'm very excited that I didn't have to travel very far to get here. And today I'm going to talk about our climate and health program and our progress and lessons learned to date. And I have no relationships to disclose. Okay. So, the San Francisco Department of Public Health goal of its partnership with the CDC is to develop the public health capacity and adaptations to reduce the human health effects from extreme heat events and also associated air quality impacts. Our focus is on preventing disease and advancing health and well-being, and this really positions public health as natural allies to the climate change planning sector. So how many people are here from out of town? A lot. How many people were here over the weekend? A lot, many of you. So it's really never this warm here. It usually is 58 degrees and foggy, and it gets about 72 degrees. That is our average kind of weather pattern. So this project, to my colleagues and within our department, was kind of a hard sell because we don't frequently see extreme heat events in San Francisco. And because of its temperate climate, most people don't view San Francisco as a place of concern for heat events. But what we found through climate change models is that heat waves are projected to increase in frequency and severity. And San Francisco is particularly vulnerable because of our lack of physiological and technological adaptations. And specifically what this means, and Jay kind of touched upon this, is that since it doesn't get very hot here, our bodies are not acclimated to hot weather, and it takes us longer to thermoregulate. And also from a technological standpoint, we don't really have the adaptations for extreme heat events. So most of the housing stock in San Francisco is very old, doesn't have HVAC systems and or air conditioning. And so in response to these important public health concerns, the San Francisco Department of Public Health devised this environmental health assessment to map the determinants of heat vulnerability to assess the spatial distribution of extreme heat and associated air quality impacts. And again, this information that we started basing our study off of was from a 2006 study that actually showed specific census tracts in San Francisco at risk for heat vulnerability. And this slide kind of shows the timeline and our anticipated outcomes for our project with the CDC. We are just commencing year 3 right now and still finishing up a little bit of the work from year 2. And today I'm going to briefly touch upon the creation of our heat vulnerability spatial index, talk a little bit about a gap analysis that was performed, and how this information is going in to create a citywide strategic plan for extreme heat planning. So many of the people in the room already are aware of the potential health effects of climate change, which this slide shows. And for those of you who don't know that much about heat events, extreme heat events are the number one cause of weather-related fatalities in the United States, not in San Francisco, but overall. And health effects from heat range from mild heat stress to heat stroke, and heat events increase heat-related mortality, cardiovascular mortality, respiratory mortality, and all-cause mortality. But community vulnerability to heat-related mortality and morbidity can be defined as more complex interactions, which include pre-existing health conditions, environmental determinants for exposure, socioeconomic and demographic factors for response. And what we found is local government really needs to be prepared to prevent this morbidity and mortality, and we need to act urgently to prevent long-term catastrophic climate scenarios and promote adaptation and mitigation that includes health co-benefits. In San Francisco, as we've seen in many other health departments, we tend to focus on vulnerable populations because they tend to suffer a disproportionate poor health impacts due to environmental exposures. And as we mentioned earlier, vulnerability is defined by many factors beyond climate and heat, such as the physiology of a person, culture, built environment, the infrastructure, and again, the social and demographic characteristics. So our first step in creating a strategic plan was to identify where the vulnerable populations in San Francisco were. So we knew where we can target our planning and programs. So we first created the Heat Vulnerability Spatial Index. And this index combined a social vulnerability assessment, built environment attributes, and land surface temperature using remote sense data to understand the interurban variations of risk for extreme heat events in San Francisco. And this slide here represents the individual pre-existing factors, demographic and socioeconomic factors, environmental exposures, and the other variables found to modify the relationship between heat and mortality and morbidity, which we found in the literature. So data on these 24 indicators were collected for San Francisco on a census block level. And here is kind of the summary of all the indicators that we use to compose the index. Briefly, I'm going to go through one example from each element. So for socioeconomic data, an example of a variable that we used was the percent of linguistically isolated households. And what we've seen based on the literature that people who had some limitation in communicating English represented a significant number of people who died in extreme past heat events. And then looking at the built environment element, this map shows PM2.5 emissions attributable to traffic volume. And we know that heat waves exacerbate air quality conditions and can threaten health of populations by increasing people's exposure to degraded air quality. And lastly, we looked at surface temperature, and this information was derived from thermal satellite imagery, and it kind of and what it shows is kind of how the built environment retains heat. And we used two separate satellite images. One of them on the left is from May, and the other one is from September. So you can see how the seasonality kind of changes the heat distribution within the city. And so basically, we mapped all of the variables that I showed in the previous slide corresponding to increasing vulnerability, and we analyzed the data. Then we standardized the Z-scores for each variable, and they were aggregated, and the final index was used creating principal component analysis and factor scoring. And the factor scores were rotated. The factor scores for the rotated principal component analysis were assigned to each block group, and they were all weighted equally. And the six factor scores were summed for each block group, and it created our heat vulnerability index. And the index was mapped using geographic information software to kind of visualize the geographic distribution of heat vulnerability within San Francisco. And this slide kind of shows our final output from our heat vulnerability index. And the red indicating areas of San Francisco that are most at risk, and the green showing where people are least at risk. And in case you're wondering where we're located, we're kind of smack in the middle of the red section in the downtown area. And this is predominantly because of the impervious surfaces and buildings in the area tends to retain heat. And so the results from our index, what we saw is that there are certain neighborhoods of San Francisco have significantly higher risk during an extreme heat event than others due to a number of factors, including the physical makeup of the landscape and the buildings, which I just talked about, the age, socioeconomic status, and the isolation of the people who reside there. And some of these neighborhoods, for those of you who are familiar with San Francisco, include parts of downtown Civic Center, where we are now, Bayview, Outer Mission, South of Market, Tenderloin, and the Western Addition. So out of our heat vulnerability index, we kind of found that the identification of vulnerable block groups could aid in public health planning efforts to, one, work with the most vulnerable communities to reduce health disparities associated with environmental exposures. It can help us planning and identifying a cooling center of adequate size for each of the highest risk neighborhoods I just talked about, and also the determination of at least one large suitable congregation cooling venue for the city. It also kind of showed us where we needed to target and promote education, engage community partners, and promote collaboration. Also, I kind of talked in the beginning, we had done a gap analysis. And what we found within the gap analysis is, although San Francisco does a lot of emergency preparedness around one natural disaster, which is earthquakes. So we really have the foundation or the bones to respond to a natural disaster, but not specifically heat. We found that we have no lead agency in a heat event. We don't have a health official who has ever declared a heat event. So another recommendation was to actually identify a lead agency during an extreme heat event. And this also includes the identification of all the stakeholders and city department agencies who have a role in extreme heat event planning and our response. Also, to establish triggers and thresholds. We don't have, the National Weather Center comes up with kind of standard national triggers and thresholds for an extreme heat emergency. But something that might work for Phoenix or New York City isn't going to work for San Francisco. So we really need to look at the heat data and the health response and come up with triggers and thresholds which are specific to San Francisco. And with this information, we need to update our health crisis and risk communication plan. Also, work on this project, we found it could be scalable to other citywide climate projects. So, for example, the heat vulnerability map that I showed you has also been used in climate adaptation planning, specifically kind of for our urban forest planning, and where we need to do more tree planting to provide cooling for areas that are most at risk for heat. And so in closing, I just want to, the largest contributor to relative heat vulnerability in San Francisco is actually socioeconomic factors, which influence a person's ability to prepare and respond to an extreme heat event. Protecting human health and safety during a heat wave will require ensuring emergency preparedness efforts reach those populations most at risk. And lastly, public health has an important role to play in helping to achieve climate and sustainability goals. Thank you very much.